Right. I want to start off with a little bit of context, because when we talk about geographic areas, when we talk about region, it often means different things to different people. So from an NHS England, NHS Improvement and NHS Digital perspective, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about the North. A population of 15.2 million people who suffer from the highest preventable mortality rate in England. And that, to me, is the absolute rationale for why I do what I do, and I'm sure for why you do what you do. We've got a population of 15.2 million people who need us to come together to bring all of our knowledge, skills and experience together to collaborate to improve their health. If you look at the disease registers that are collected in primary care through some of the QAF metrics, there are 21 major conditions, and the North has the highest prevalence of 15 of those. So we start from a baseline of poorly people, a poorly population. We have the highest proportion of any of the regions in England of deprived local authorities. So when we talk, as both David and Indy did, about the need to bring together health and social care, that for me is a context of why we're doing that. And from a technical or an organisational perspective, we work across 8 STPs, who may shortly be 6, we'll wait and see, two ACSs, shortly to be ICSs, who knows what the next acronym will be, and a devolution partnership. We have, I think we've still got, 66 CCGs, 47 acute trusts, 19 mental health trusts, over 3,500 GP practices, over 2,000 dental practices, 1,000 opticians, and 3,500 pharmacies. So when we talk about interoperability, and I couldn't tell how many care homes we had. That's why that's not on there. So when we talk about interoperability, we're talking about a very complex landscape across the North. We're talking about pockets of deprivation, and we're talking about an underlying ill health in the population. So when David spoke about the future is here, it's just not very evenly distributed. That brings that home to me personally. So what I've been doing in my work for NHS England and NHS Improvement is looking at the local digital plans for all of the different areas across the North. And what I've done is draw out the priorities that come out time and time again in those plans. And the top one is shared care records. That is interoperability at its most fundamental for me. How do we pull together the right data with the right controls, and how do we make that available to the right end user, which could be the clinician, it could be the patient, it could be the carer, it could be anyone involved in that whole care continuum, and how do we use that to improve people's healthcare? And we've got some fantastic exemplars and examples of good practice. I have to be careful with the terminology sometimes in the North. We really have, but what we don't have is consistency. People have picked up business intelligence, absolutely fundamental. I would say after 25 years of working in the NHS that far too much of the NHS still does its planning on Excel. And there's a whole world out there that we're not tapping into, where we're not using that data to the extent that we could. People have highlighted infrastructure and interoperability. That's why we're here. That's what we're talking about. The governance, as Indy said. And you'd all shout at me if I didn't say it. So the funding, the equity of funding. So I'll put that out there. How do we work with exemplars? I mean, I am chuffed, I have to say. My team have a mantra. Janet's not competitive, but she does like the North to be best. And we do have the highest concentration of global digital exemplars in the country. So we're recognised as being forward-thinking. We're recognised as being innovative. But what do we do with the fact that we've got a cluster in the northwest, a small cluster in the northeast, and as I am frequently reminded whenever I'm on the patch, nothing in Yorkshire and Humber. How do we make that work? Both Indy and David again talked about standards. And I think there's an interesting question here about what is mandated centrally and where is flexibility locally. And that's something that I hope will play out in some of the conversations that happen throughout the day. Where does this sit best to enable us to move forward? And again, just picking up on both David... Oh, thank you. Got two now. David and Indy's presentations. How do we drive up the scale? Like I said, we have got some truly stunning pieces of work that happen in the north, but they are quite contained. And I think that's probably come from the history of those local areas that feel that trust. They feel a sense of place and a sense of community. And so people have built on that. And that's fantastic. But now how do we take the best from that and take the learning and make that more widely available? And leadership and engagement. Again, there's work that's going on nationally, looking at how do we increase digital leadership, and work that I'm starting in the north about how do we increase the digital awareness of our non-digital leaders? How do I support you in getting the digital agenda onto the executive committee's minds? WannaCry helped for a bit, but let's be honest, the panic that WannaCry engendered is now starting to fade away a bit. What I don't want to see is the digital agenda returning back into in the minds of execs, back into that box of it's something that happens in the back room, not that it is an absolutely fundamental part of how we deliver our business. I was very conscious when I was planning this slot that I sit neatly in between the national picture that Indy's given you, the picture across the north that David's given you, and I don't want to steal the thunder of the people who are coming to talk about what they're doing that's fantastic and innovative at a local level. So I thought that what I'd do is just post some questions up here that I hope will help shape your thinking perhaps, and maybe put some of the challenge into the conversations that come later. So the first one is, as we move forward with shared health and care records, how do we ensure that we are supporting whatever the future looks like in terms of the models of care delivery? One thing we're excessively good at the moment is inventing new collective nouns for things. We've got vanguards, we've got pilots, we've had pathfinders, test beds, exemplars, that's five to start with. And all of those are looking at what's the most effective way forward to deliver a sustainable health service, health and care service. So what does our interoperability piece need to look like to make sure that the appropriate part of the record is available in the appropriate place? And then moving on from that to look at personalised health and care. Again, we are making some fantastic advances in terms of what we can do around genomics, how we use artificial intelligence. How's that going to play in? How do we create an environment that delivers the basics, it delivers the now, but also prepares us for delivering patient care that's tailored to the genome? What information will we need to hold? How will that information need to be structured in such a way that we can make use of it, that we link that in, for example, with what's prescribed? There are some really massive questions there that I think this group is really well placed to answer. And then we talked about population health management. How do we flow that data so that those who plan and those who deliver services do so in the best informed way possible? I think the exemplars, the local health and care record exemplars, are really going to help us push this forward and give us some of the prompts to take that across a much broader population. I think it's also interesting to think about who's taking responsibility for those populations. As our ICSs grow and become whatever they become next, where does that responsibility sit? That's going to impact on the governance models. That's going to impact on the shifting and transforming of data around the system. So how do we prepare for that future? And the last point, and this is something that I'm working with various organisations across the North, is how do we describe what care delivery looks like in a digital age? When we're all sitting here with smartphones, when we're all interconnected, when Facebook knows more about me than I do myself, although I think that's just my age and general forgetfulness. But how do we then translate that into the way we deliver care? And how do we manage the expectations of our clinicians, of our managers and planners, of our patients, of their carers, and of that broader population as a whole? So those were my questions, for which I have no answers, just in case anyone decides to ask me. But I think this is about the conversation. And just finally, to sort of wrap a perspective around that, when we talk about interoperability, one of the things that I think we need to be quite open and honest about is how do we interoperate as individuals and representatives of different organisations? We are still working in an environment where, for example, trusts are required to maintain their financial balance. Commissioners are required to balance the books. Those two things can be in conflict. And what I've seen in many cases is collaboration, shared vision, that's fine, until one organisation perhaps is seen to need to step back to allow someone else to step forward. So I'd really like to put that piece in there, get the elephant in the room and say, there's a piece for me that is the broader context. It's almost the organisational social side of interoperability, and that's how do you work as a group of organisations who have challenges and requirements and mandates upon them and break out of those boundaries and have that broader conversation. And again, there are some areas that are tackling this head on. There are some areas that have been very successful in doing that. There are other areas that are struggling with that. And I think we need to be very honest about that, because that, I think, is going to be one of the success factors. That when we look back in sort of 2 years' time, that's going to be one of the things on which we stand or on which we fall. So to finish, I think this is a fantastically exciting time. The innovation that sits around this patch, the skill and the enthusiasm of the people in this room is going to have a complete and utter transformative effect on those 15.2 million people who have the worst health in the country. So I'd like to say thank you, because I think you're going to shift this. You're going to really change the dial. There are things that you will need from NHS England, from NHS Improvement, from NHS Digital. We're here, me and my team, we're here to be that conduit. We can't always answer the question. We can't always give you the money. What we can often do is put you in touch with people, and we can be your advocates nationally to help and support. So thank you very much. I am here for a few minutes, but I do need to dash off later on. So if there are any immediate questions, I'll take them. But otherwise, thank you.